me just tell you this. If you're waiting until you're in a crisis to grab your Bible and begin to pray over a situation, it's too late, folks. I can just tell you that right now. If a crisis comes up and you have to go rehearse a scripture for that crisis, it's too late. Because the Bible says what's in your heart should come right out of your mouth. And let me give you an example of that. I was with some ministers. A couple of them were very young ministers. They were brand new to the faith. And, you know, their life, they were training their body. They were renewing their mind to the Word of God. And we were standing around in a group of people. And there was a van there. And, you know, like most people, and I think this one guy wasn't a pastor, but there were two other pastors there. And we were standing there. And I think we were going to lunch or somewhere. And we were talking. And you know me, I like to be on time. And if I'm not on time, my conscience is all messed up, because I'm just one of those perceiver types that, you know, it's black and white. You're there on time or you're late. It's that simple. There ain't no gray time in between. I know a lot of people don't live like that, but I do, and that's just the way I live. If you're on time or you're late. And so when I'm late, I mean, my conscience is all messed up. So I was sitting there normally, you know, and it's rude to look at your watch, but these preachers kept talking. And I just kind of looked at my watch and said, we got to go. So I opened the door of the car, or actually it was a van. I opened the door there, and actually the other guy opened the door. He got in, and I was leaning on the car talking. And the other guys were talking, and I said, look, guys, we got to go. And then this guy asked me something, and I looked over to him, and the other guy slammed the door. It wasn't my hand, it was another guy's hand. Slammed the door. I was leaning on it, and I was standing right beside him. Slammed the door, and the guy's hand got smashed, and mine almost got smashed, and I jumped back, and the first thing that came out of this guy's mouth was blankety blank blank. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. Oh, now wait a minute. Just hope it wasn't your hand, brother. Sister. What are you saying, Pastor? What's in your heart in crisis comes right out of your mouth. His brain didn't have time to think about what words were coming out. He couldn't train his mind, couldn't pick up fast enough, because in a crisis, you're going to react automatically. In the military, my dad was in the Air Force for 30 years. Dale was in the Army. They trained them. My dad told me in survival school, they trained him to tear apart his M16 and put it back together in complete darkness. Why was that? Time and time again, he had to pull the gun apart, put it back together, pull the gun apart, pull it back together. In the dark, pull it back. Why? Because in crisis, when somebody's up fixing to kill you and your gun jams and it's dark outside, you ain't got time to pull the manual out and start looking at the manual, because this guy's fixing to kill you and you got to react quickly to survive. It's the same thing with the Word of God. And you can't do it unless you're right with God and the Word of God's on the inside of you. So when crisis shows up, what is ever planted in your heart, if it's doubt and unbelief and hatred or envy and strife, that's what's going to come out. And that power is going to come out and set an atmosphere for your situation, whether you're going to have salvation or you're going to have defeat. And when the Bible talks about salvation, it's not just talking about us going to glory land. Yeah, we're going to glory land. But Paul said today is the day of salvation. So today, I like to put it like this because most people can understand it. When your light bill's due and you ain't got money, and the day it's due, you walk to your mailbox and there's a check in there for the exact same amount for your light bill, that's salvation. Yeah. Amen? You can't pay your truck payment. You can't buy clothes for your kids for school. You can't take care of certain things. You need salvation. Amen. You don't need money. You need deliverance. You need deliverance from the spirit of poverty that's trying to jump off on you. Amen. That's why the Word of God is so powerful. Now Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says this: faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, we're talking about the power of right standing, and that power is the force of faith, as we're going to see here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence first that you're right with God. Because if you ain't right with God, now let's look at this definition about right standing here. The definition of right standing is this. You might want to write this down. Or you might want to buy the tape, amen. The ability to stand in the presence of God without guilt, shame, or condemnation. As if sin never occurred in your life. Can you think like that tonight? Can you think in your mind, through your spirit, that sin never occurred? What happened yesterday never occurred. Can you think about the job that you quit or you got fired from 2 years ago? Can you think about that as if it never occurred? The first marriage that fell apart in your life. Are you still carrying the baggage of that marriage, or can you see yourself as if that marriage never existed? Because let me tell you something. If you repent and you get right with God, when God marries you to someone else, in God's eyes, it's as if that was your very first marriage. Because He sees you through the blood of Jesus. He reestablished. Now, the only one to remind Him of your mistakes is generally you. And the only reason you're reminding somebody else of your mistakes is because you're right. The devil's sitting there accusing you. He's the accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12 and verse 10. That's what He does. He sits around and reminds you that you can't, you won't, and you never will. That's His response. But Jesus said in John 10:10 that I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. So being right with God eliminates the stealing, killing, and destroying in your life. That's how important right standing or righteousness is. Now see, the Bible, the King James refers to righteousness. And we see that word in the modern church as some religious statement. No one's righteous. You know, Romans chapter 3, over there, verse 6, 7, and 8, somewhere in there says, you know, no one's righteous. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. It was as filthy rags until you got saved. Now you're saved. Jesus is your Lord. He's the Lord over your life. He's the master of your life. So He bought you. He paid a price to set you in a position that you've never been in before. Adam stepped out of the position. Adam was the first man that was born again. The problem with Adam was he was born from life to death. We're born from death to life. You see? He had the life of God. He was right with God. But when he sinned, death came into his heart and filled the earth through his seed. Amen. And the Bible says that we are all born into death. So when we're born again, we're born from death into life. Well, when you're born into that life, you're right with God. Now, you got to maintain your righteousness, your right standing with God. How do you do that? By faith. The power of right standing is faith. You have to operate faith in your life. Now going over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I want to read this out of the Amplified Bible. Romans, now does everyone understand what the Amplified Bible is? Is there anyone that's saying, Pastor, I'm a little fuzzy on the Amplified? If just raise your hand. Is there anyone here that's a little fuzzy on? I'm being pastor. Come on now. It's open form. Everybody knows the Amplified is a translation of the Bible that amplifies the original King James or the original Greek, right? So in other words, it puts it in a more modern day language that we can understand. You can't miss it if you have an Amplified Bible. Now the King James is a little hard. You really have to study it out, certain words. If you don't have a concordance, you know, you may not get the full understanding, but you get a translation like the Amplified, it's simple. You can see sin for what it is. And there ain't no question. Matter of fact, I mean, Jesus may judge us by the Amplified Bible. Amen? Oh, no. It's so clear. Amen? Now, Romans chapter 1. Are y'all here tonight? Boy, I am. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ, for it is God's power working unto salvation for deliverance from eternal death. To everyone who believes with a personal trust and confidence, surrender and firm reliance to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now look at verse 17. I want to concentrate on that. For in the gospel, what's the gospel? The gospel, as verse 16 says, the gospel's power. It's the power you need in your life to knock the devil out of your life. And when it says good news, what good news is that? That Jesus died for your sins and set you in right standing with God. When you're right with somebody, then everything, let me just tell you like this. When I'm right with my dad, and everything's cool between me and my dad, he's got a 250-acre farm. He's got tractors, four-wheelers, horses, all that stuff. When I'm right with him, all I got to do is go up to dad's house. If I want to ride the tractor, go get on the tractor and ride the tractor. If I want to take something on a four-wheeler ride, you get on the four-wheeler and you go. If I want to go on a horse ride, you get on the horse, you saddle a horse, you go on a ride. If I want a Coca-Cola, I go to my dad's refrigerator, open the refrigerator, get a Coca-Cola. If I need to use his computer to check my email, I go in there and ask him to log me on and use his computer. Amen. I have everything at his resource available to me. But if the week before my dad asked me to do something and I said no, and I ain't never doing that, well, you ain't called me in 6 months, and where's my birthday card? And he says, well, bless God. And I say, well, bless God. And we both hang up the phone real quick like, and it makes a real loud noise. Have y'all ever heard one of those ting? And then I go up there. I'm going to be just a little bit slow about getting on his four-wheeler. I'm going to be a little bit slow about asking him, Dad, you got any Dr. Peppers? Do you have one extra one? Why is that? I'm not right with him. And see, it's the same thing with God. Now see, I'm bringing it home to you now, aren't I? You called your aunt such and such before the turkey dinner on Thanksgiving and you had a little spat because you were spreading gossip and everything. And she got mad at you and slammed the phone. But, you know, you got to go to the dinner. When you show up at the dinner and she asks you to come in and help with the mashed potatoes, you're probably in there hiding behind a pan doing the mashed potatoes. Why is that? You ain't right with her. Same thing with God, folks. When you're right with God, the power, which is faith, of God flows through you. When you speak, you can knock down mountains. When you speak, trees move. When you speak, business deals go just like that. You can start and finish everything with ease. Why? Because you're fresh. You're with God. You got the power. You got the whole assembly of heaven at your disposal. It says here, for in the gospel a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith. Now listen to this. Righteousness springs from faith. Your right standing with God depends on your faith, because let me tell you something. In yourself, you can't do it. So you got to have faith that Jesus took your sin. And that sin that separates you and God right now, or you and your wife, you got to say, Jesus took that sin. I repent. I'm calling on the blood of Jesus. And then you got to take a step of faith and say, it's as if it never occurred. Amen? That's how you get in right standing with somebody. Now, if somebody doesn't agree the way you do or believe the way you do, and if they're not a Christian, they probably ain't going to forgive you that quick. But you're around true Christians that are spiritual men and women of God. If they remember what you did yesterday, they're not very spiritual. Let me just tell you that. And don't come tell me what you did and what you said about me last week after the service. Because I don't care. Because I'm not going to hold it against you. I'm not thinking about that, and you shouldn't either. You should go to God, and if you are bothered by that, it's because you hadn't repented, and you ain't right with God, and your conscience has got you separated. You're totally separated. Now, where did this first occur? It occurred with Adam. Remember Adam in the Garden of Eden? Remember, as soon as he bowed his knee to Satan, spiritual death came into his heart. And as soon as spiritual death came into his heart, he was separated from God. God came on the scene like he's always been. God's here right now. God's speaking all the time. It's just whether you're right with him, whether you're going to hear him or not. God is here. God's here right now. He's here to take care of all your needs. His word is present. There's power in his word. It's present tonight to take care of everything you need. The question is, are you right with him to where you can hear him? Are you close enough to him to where he can minister to you? Amen? Adam, what happened? He bowed his knee to this outlaw spirit, this angel. Adam, that day, fell. The Bible says we are created in the very likeness and image of God. Adam fell two steps right there. Because we're created in the very likeness and image of God, we were right under God. Now, you ain't God, but you're his son. Adam was his son. He had total dominion and authority over angels, principalities, powers, everything that was created. He had authority over Satan, who was Lucifer, who was an angel. Amen. He had authority over Michael, Gabriel, the whole angelic force Adam had authority over. He could tell them to do things. Go do this for me. Go take care of this. Go do that. Why? Because he had that authority. But as soon as he bowed his knee, he lowered himself below angels then, see? Why? Because he bowed his knee to an angel, a fallen angel at that. And that fallen angel took over and lodged spiritual death into his spirit. What did that cause? It caused separation immediately. As soon as that death went into a spirit that fast, there was separation. God came on the scene just like God's here right now. He's talking. He's talking all the time. He's talking. He's using me right now. He's speaking to you. He's sharing his word. It's just whether you're right with him or your position with him, whether you're going to hear or not. Amen? Remember Jesus said, take heed what you hear, for how you hear it is how it's going to be measured to you. It's not the pastor. See, I'm the FedEx guy. That's all I am. I don't have any revelation. I'm just a conduit. I'm the FedEx guy. All I'm doing is delivering the package to you. What you do with the package is up to you. So God comes on the scene and says, Adam, where are you, son? What'd the Bible say? Where did the Bible say Adam was? Hiding. Why was he hiding? Now, wait a minute. Now, whoa, let's back up for a minute. He was hiding, but we just read in a few verses before that he walked and talked with God in the cool of the day. Right? So something happened. He got separated, didn't he? He got separated. God's the same God. He's coming to love on his man. Where are you? I want to love on you. I want to pour my blessings on you. I've created you to fellowship with me. He says, where are you? Adam said what? I ran off and hid. First thing God said was, who told you that? That was the first thing he said. You go over and study it out in Genesis chapter 3. He said, now who told you? Who told you that you were naked? And who told you to run off and hide? What happened? Adam wasn't listening to God anymore. Adam was listening to this outlaw fallen angel, which was now his Lord. Well, Jesus fixed all that. Come on now, Jesus fixed all that. I mean, it's shouting ground right here. Jesus bore our sin, our sickness, our disease on the cross and set us right back in the same place Adam was. That's how you got to see the Bible. If you don't see the Bible that way, right there, you're missing Christianity. You're missing the whole reason Jesus came. He has set us back into this place. And as soon as you get set back into that place, now your flesh may not realize, I'm right with God. You train your flesh to smoke for 15 years, it ain't going to want to quit overnight. You train your flesh to look at pornography and get involved in strife and all that, it ain't going to want to change overnight. You're going to have to begin to re-change or renew your mind, retrain your body to line up with what's going on the inside of it. And the quicker you do that, the happier you're going to be. Because if you're born again and you ain't doing that, there's a battle going on. You got the Spirit of God on the inside of you and you got the ugly you on the outside fighting. Romans chapter 7, Paul said, the thing that I like doing, I didn't do, and the thing I shouldn't have done, I done. But finally, in verse 1 of chapter 8, he says, praise God, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has overcome the spirit of death. He realized, I can put this into motion. I can actually make it happen and accelerate it in my life. I can allow right standing to be accelerated. How do I do that? By operating in faith. Now, we're faith people. We're word of faith people. It takes faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, listen to me. Faith is the evidence that you know you're right with God. That's the first step in with God right there. Faith immediately begins to activate in your life. No faith, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Ministry and business and everything else that you're doing. No faith to produce it, something's wrong. Got to fix it. Go down the list. Look at where the blessing blocker's at somewhere. Let's check off the list. Let's find out, because the power of God is present. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And that's a powerful presence. Now, look at this. Go over to Romans chapter 3. Faith always declares the price is paid. Romans chapter 3, and look at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Look at verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is what? Come on, it's by what? Come on now, it's by what? So your right standing's by your faith. It's how much can you believe God? How much can you operate? Let me tell you something. Sometimes you got to train your flesh to just step in there. You got to overcome your flesh, and you got to say, bless God, I am the blessed. When you get more of God on the inside of you than you get the world on the inside of you, you are going to start, you're going to be like the bow of a boat cutting through water. You're going to be like a locomotive, Steve. Ain't nothing going to stop you. Once you get that momentum going, brother, nothing going to stop you. You start listening to the Word of God over a year, 2 years. Let me tell you, that third and fourth year, I want to see where you're at, because you're going to be plowing some ground. Amen. But you can't just start reading it tonight and say, bless God, I'm going to own a home tomorrow with my faith. No, it won't work that way. That's foolishness gone astray. Let me just tell you that. It says, the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus. Now look at this. Unto all. Righteousness through faith is unto all. In other words, whosoever will, as Mark 11, chapter 23 says, whosoever will say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and you shall not doubt in your heart, it shall come to pass in your life. Amen. This scripture right here, this faith, this righteousness, is not particular to anyone. It's to whosoever will. Because the Bible says again here, it's unto all and upon all them that believe. You have to believe. For there is no difference. Go down to verse 28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified or righteous, what? Through faith. Now go over to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. A couple chapters there to your right. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, thank you, Lord. The Bible says, for by grace you're saved through faith. You're saved through faith. Man, you can't even make Jesus the Lord of your life until you believe this guy is taking care of everything I need. And when you make that decision, you take that step of faith, God, the power, you, and so many people think, well, I got to work this out. Yeah, you got to work it out by just submitting to the power of God, because God will take the power and work it out through you. You ain't got to do anything but just believe God. Now, that's hard for some people. You know why? Because their flesh is so in the world, it's tough on them. But I think all you got to do is take a step. When you got saved, the same faith that saved you is the same faith that can buy you a new car, is the same faith that can buy you a new house, is the same faith that can start your new business, is the same faith that can get you through school, is the same faith that can accomplish your destiny. And let me tell you, everyone's got a destiny in here. But that destiny can sit on the inside of you for 25 years, like this woman. Let me just tell you about righteousness. I had lunch with a pastor, a new pastor I met. And boy, I'm meeting a lot of pastors lately. New pastor, got a nice church. And he was in the Assemblies of God, and he was preaching, and all of a sudden, boy, he got turned on to faith. He finally saw in the Bible, if I'm going to live, I got to live by faith. I said, I've been preaching candy and cornbread and everything else, and my people ain't doing nothing. He was in a little bitty building. Amen. He was trying to get his people to a point. He took over a church that was 30-something years old and had about 20 people showing up on Sundays. He said, I'm going to start preaching faith. Let me tell you something. You got to be around faith-filled people if you're going to succeed. You can't hang around people that aren't full of faith. If you are, let me tell you something. You're going to realize the gas is going to run out somewhere. Why is pastor hanging around other faith-filled pastors? Because it raises my level of faith. Whoever you're around, whoever you communicate with on a regular basis, that's who you're going to become. You hang around failures all the time. You listen to failures. That's who you're going to become, a failure. God is no respecter of persons. Let me tell you that. God is no respecter of persons. Only thing God respects is faith. So anyway, this guy, he began to tell me, well, you know, I began to build this church. Well, he'd been in this church 14 years. 4 years ago, he began to preach faith, and things began to change. Well, they went and built a building. Nice building. Sit 400 or 500 people. He's beginning to fill that building up. And all of a sudden, some of his elders got mad at him because he was preaching faith. And he was bringing in some people that taught on faith. And people were getting healed, and people were getting delivered. And a matter of fact, he was in a town in Arkansas, and his congregation was predominantly white, which I don't agree with. And they didn't want any, and I know we have some black folks here, and praise God for that, but they didn't want any black folks in their church. Well, he started preaching faith, and they all started coming in. Boy, and people started getting saved and delivered, hallelujah. Well, some of his people got mad. He said, I don't care. You can leave the church. I'm preaching what God told me to preach. So they called the Assemblies of God. And all of a sudden, he opened his door one day, and this big black Escalade showed up. And these suits got out of the Escalade, walked up and said, well, brother, I think we got trouble here. We might have to remove you from the church. He looked at them and I said, you ain't removing nobody from this church. God built this church through the word of faith, and he's going to continue to build it, and you ain't got nothing to do with this church. The people and the word built the church, not some guy in some off city. And you know what? He was right with God because they turned around and got back in the Escalade and left. And they ain't heard from him yet. And he changed the name. He's changed the name of the church. And now it's continuing to grow even more. And he's doing what God called him to do. Why did they get back in the Escalade and walk off? Because he was right. And they knew it. And they said, hey, I ain't gonna. Now, had the church been built on the bonds of that denomination, maybe they'd had a tie to it, but it wasn't. It was built off of the earnings and the tithe of the people. And they ain't got no right to that. What did he do? He was right with God. And boy, when he told me that, I got on fire, boy. I said, that's exactly where we're going. We're going to have the biggest multicultural church in our city. Hallelujah. I said, that's because that's where God is. So anyway, he began to tell me how he started preaching faith and how he got turned on. I said, brother, first thing you did was get right with God and decide to preach his word. And that's exactly what he did. Go over to Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17 says, I'm getting over there right now. Romans 5 and verse 17 says, "For if by one man's offense, if Adam, his offense of death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon many, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." Look at that. You have a right to be justified before God. It's your decision. All you got to do is say, "Pastor, I want to be right with God." All you got to do with your boss, if you're out of sorts with your boss, is say, go up to him, say whatever his name is, "I want to be right. I missed it. I need to repent." If you're right with family members or your spouse or your brother or your mother, or all you got to do is just get it right. And let me tell you something. When you get it right, things are going to go. Now, let me just tell you this story. I was a young man. I was, 10 years old, something like that. And boy, I did bad in school. I guess that's an age where boys are growing and learning. And I got a real bad report card. And, you know, I didn't want to share that with my mom. And, on the bus ride home, I had two sisters, and they were always straight A. So, you know, they had their cards, report cards. And I know now they send them directly to the home, right? They don't even give them to the kids now. Well, they did back. Foolish. You'd think they'd been smarter than that, amen? So my sisters got their report cards, and they're showing everybody, "Oh, look at this, A this." And what am I doing? I'm hiding. And I'm thinking in my seat, I cannot show mom this because there were some bad grades on there. So the first thing I did when I got home was I took my report card and I went into my closet and I stuck it inside my Sunday suit. And back in them days, we didn't go to church except on Easter. And I knew I was safe because I wasn't going to see that suit for at least a year. And I remember, and probably not then because I'd done grown out of that church, amen? That suit. Before I went to church, we always got new shoes and we got a new suit. You know, I don't know about y'all, but we were heathen. I didn't grow up in church as a young man. And we went to church, you know, on Easter. Anyway, I put that report card on the inside pocket. Now, I know there's some youngsters. Don't get any ideas in here, amen? I put it on the inside pocket there. And then I went to dinner that night, and all my sisters, you know, there's four of us. They were all sitting around the table, and mom was setting the table and everything. And boy, I just could not get my face out of the plate. You know what I mean? I just could not. She'd say, "Dwayne, what's wrong with you?" "Oh, nothing. Oh, nothing. Nothing's wrong with me." She'd say, "Now, son," you know, and the thing about it, she had always just come up and rub on you and kiss on you. And I'm not trying to do that, Robert, but, you know, she'd take care of us when we were young. And "What's wrong, son?" "What? Nothing." Well, the first thing that Denise would say, or Debbie would say, "Oh, Mom, look at my report card." Just throw it out there, looking at me going, "I got you now, huh?" Just throw it out there. And boy, she'd just, you know, celebrate and reward them, love on them. "Son, where's yours?" "Oh, I didn't get one, Mom." Right there, right there, right there, separated. I was separated from the love. I was separated from dessert. I was separated from sitting in front of the television, my mom running her fingers through my hair like she liked to do. The first thing I asked, I took two bites of dinner and said, "Mom, can I be excused?" "Oh, yeah." She had no idea. Boy, that the next 3 days, I remember it. It was murder, boy. Why? Because, see, I'd separated myself from my mom. And, you know, moms and sons are important. I always honored my mom. She was an important part of my life at that age. And 3 days later, I'd had enough. My conscience, even as a 10-year-old boy, my conscience was all messed up. And I finally went into my mom and said, "Mom," I went in there first and got that report card, pulled it out of that suit, went in there and gave her that report, said, "Mom, I'm sorry." And that's all I said. And I didn't say it like that. See, I'm looking y'all in the eyes, but I was doing this. Why? Separated. Separated. Now, who did the separating? You see, my mom those 3 days was always, "What's wrong, son? Man, are you not feeling good? What's going on?" Matter of fact, the more I thought about it, I wasn't feeling good. I wasn't. Why? Because the separation, the death was coming in there, see? Amen? So I gave her the report card. I said, "Mom, sorry." And the first thing she said, this is just so cool. She looked at that report card and she said, "Son, you're smarter than this." She didn't get mad. She didn't scream. She didn't yell. She just said, "Son, you know you're smarter than this." And you know what? On the inside of me, I knew I was smarter than that. Come on. We're smarter than this, aren't we, folks? And she said, "Well, I forgive you." And as soon as she said, "I forgive you," whew, there it was again. That loving just rolled up, hugged her, you know. That warm, motherly hug, you know, rubbing on the hair. "It's okay, son. Get it correct." It's the same way you can be with God if you get separated. That's how important right standing with God is. That's how important it is to honor one another. That's how important it is to stay connected to the local church. Because that's where the power is, folks. There's power, and that power is called faith. And that power brings salvation in your life. And that salvation cannot continue if you're not right with God. You say, "Pastor, I'm right with God." Well, maybe you are, maybe you aren't. That's not for me to decide. That's for you to decide. Each one of us. Amen? Go over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And look at verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave." God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's how simple eternal Zoe life is. You accepting Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I just thank You, Lord. I honor You tonight. And Father, I am so thankful that Jesus has...